Welcome to High Cheese. It's Friday, March 29th, 2024. And today's Good Friday, the most solemn day for Christians. And what was yesterday? Holy Thursday, the day of the Last Supper. And what was the Democrat Party doing yesterday? And what was Donald Trump doing yesterday? If there's anything that shows us the difference between what the Democrat Party stands for versus what Donald Trump stands for, can be seen what happened yesterday. Democrats had this massive fundraiser at Radio City Music Hall in New York City. Apparently, they raised $25 million for the Democrat cause. And on stage was Bill Clinton, Joe Biden, and Barack Obama. And had all these other entertainers, all these other high-profile people that most of us couldn't care less who they are. But the Democrats, that's a big thing, because these are the gods of the Democrats. The entertainers, the politicians, the people for big government. And it was all about raising cash and raising money to go against Donald Trump and you and me. Meanwhile, what was Donald Trump doing? Donald Trump was at a wake for a New York City cop that was killed recently. And think about this. What a dichotomy. What do the Democrats value? Money. Money and power. What does Donald Trump stand for? The people. And how elitist are these Democrats? Here they are. They've got Radio City Music Hall filled up with donors who paid between $250 and $500,000 to be there. And there were protests outside. And they were protesting the policies of the Democrats. But they didn't care. Those people inside Radio City Music Hall didn't care. Because they think, oh, we'll throw those protesters some bones sometime over the election period. And then they'll vote for us. Because we're the elites. We make the decisions. We have the money. And if we have to throw some bones to people in order for us to get them to vote for us, oh, we will. That's part of our algorithm. But I don't think it's going to work this time. People are just fed up, even people in their own party. Now, you take a look at history. There's two things that I'm equating this election cycle with. One is 1968. I'm sure there's going to be, just like in 1968, I'm sure there's going to be riots at the Democrat convention this year. And that resulted in a Republican winning. Because in 1968, the people finally realized that the Democrat Party wasn't really for them. Now, they forgot about it over the years, which takes us to Ronald Reagan against Jimmy Carter, where Jimmy Carter created both an economic disaster for this country and an international disaster for this country. See the similarities? So I don't think history is going to bode well for the Democrats this election. But here's the funny thing. You know, this is why people that love power and love money really think that money is going to cure everything. And they're making a big deal about how much money Joe Biden is raising. And he's got more money in his coffers right now for the campaign than Donald Trump does. But at some point, it doesn't matter. If that was the case, the New York Yankees would win every World Series, and they don't. They have the biggest payroll. They throw the most money out there. New York Mets. Well, they haven't won a World Series in years. So it's not about the money. It's about what goes on during the election season, what goes on in the streets, what goes on with the people. And it's a psyop trying to get people discouraged. Oh, Biden has so much more money than Donald Trump. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't contribute to Donald Trump. You should, because there is a minimum amount of money that you need to run a campaign effectively. But the Democrats' lust for money and power, just it blinds them to what the value of that money is for a campaign. And they're going to make mistakes. They've got so much money, they're going to make mistakes, so many mistakes with money. And I see what's probably going to happen. They're going to throw so much money into these urban areas to pay for votes. And this is what they do, particularly in the urban areas. They literally go out into the streets and pay for votes with cash. And I got a feeling they're going to throw so much cash into these urban areas, particularly in the swing states, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Georgia, Arizona, to name a few, that they're going to make mistakes. They're going to jump the shark somewhere, whether they get actually caught paying for votes prior to the election, because right now this is what's going on. They're laundering money, these campaign donations, into cash, and they're filtering them out into these organizations that operate in these urban areas. And there's going to be a lot of cash out there. But the problem is they're going to be giving cash to people that not voting for Biden. And this is going to be the dilemma that the Democrats have on Election Day, or prior to the Election Day, the election period. Their dilemma is, well, we got to pull this vote out. But there's a lot of these people that were used to vote for Biden. They're going to vote for Trump. And they're not that good to discern whether a voter in a ward in Chicago, for example, or a ward in Pittsburgh. So they think if the more they pay people with all this cash that they have, they'll be able to turn that into a vote for Joe Biden. And I don't think it's going to happen. I think there's enough African-Americans, enough Hispanics, enough white people in these urban areas. They're going to say, I'll take your money, but I'm going to vote for Trump. So if there's any recommendation to the Lara Trump right now, you got to get operatives down on the street right now, because the Democrats will soon be throwing a lot of cash around to people in these urban areas to vote for Biden. So we shall see. Now, I want to talk about the Key Bridge, the bridge in Baltimore that collapsed after being hit by a ship. And I have some questions about this ship. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but there's a lot of red flags out there for me. The first thing is the government's response. You get the FBI out there. First thing they say, oh, it's not terrorism. They haven't even investigated, but they're saying, oh, it's not terrorism. And for me, when one of the first few words out of the mouths of these talking heads is, no terrorism, kind of raises a red flag for me. Now, we know very little bit about the crew. We know very little bit about why the electricity went out on the ship. And the one thing that really gets me is that if you look at the video, it appears that the ship steers right into the major foundation structure of the bridge. So these things just add up, and you know, it just makes me want to know more and why the government isn't forthcoming in supplying us with this information, because we have a right to know. Now, another thing I want to talk about, it has to do just with the incompetence of this Biden administration. And with that said, I want to go to an article. It's from the New York Post. And the headline says, why the Baltimore Key Bridge crumbled so spectacularly after it was hit by a cargo ship. The dramatic collapse of Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge after being struck by a container ship as large as the MV Dally was inevitable, an engineering expert revealed. Ben Schaefer, a structural engineer professor at Johns Hopkins University, said that he doesn't believe most bridges would have withstood the impact of a modern cargo ship. 50 years into its design life and with its foundation, I don't think there's many bridges that are going to survive a container ship head-on to the one of its major supports, he told WTOP. It's a sound bridge design and has been used in other locations, Schaefer said, noting that there's been no problems with it over time. And what Schaefer's point is that when bridges like the Key Bridge were built, they weren't designed to withstand the massive container ships that we see today. And many engineers have known this. So why, I ask you, after the Biden administration earmarked $550 billion for infrastructure improvements in this country, why wasn't fortification of these bridges made a priority? This gentleman Schaefer will tell you, these bridges are outdated in the sense that they can't handle a direct hit from the ships the size of the ones that we see today. Now, most recently in New Jersey, the Bayonne Bridge was raised so these large container ships can float under them. and that project was fully completed around 2019. So you can't tell me that they haven't known that. And why wasn't this not made a priority of the Biden administration with that $550 billion to fortify these bridges? And again, it's just the incompetence of this administration. Now, just a couple of observations about the bridge, and one has to do with the cleanup. I do think that they will be able to keep the port open sooner rather than later, because all they have to do is just clean up the bridge that fell into the water. And once that's cleaned up, I think they can allow ships to start coming in and out of the port. Now, the problem is that will the construction of a new bridge interfere with daily business coming in and out of the port? I don't know. But I do think in the short term, if they are competent, they should be able to clean up the bridge that fell into the water, take it away, and open up the port again to ships. Now, the other observation I had is the federal government said it's going to pay for it. And here's what I hope they don't do. And this is what worries me about Speaker Johnson. Is he going to get rolled by the Democrats on this? Now, there is still billions and billions of dollars from Biden's infrastructure bill that has yet to be spent. I think the span of the infrastructure bill that we're going to spend from, I think, 2021 to 2026. So there's essentially two fiscal years left of money allocated for infrastructure. Now, I would hope that they reallocate that money into this bridge. And I hope that they don't have to spend new money or do a supplemental to pay for this bridge. Problem is, you never know with Speaker Johnson. You know, he got rolled on the budget. Is he going to get rolled on this? So there's no new money needed to rebuild this bridge. It's already been allocated with the infrastructure bill. Just take it out of 2025's allocation. Now, the other thing has to do with the federal government's commitment to rebuilding this. And I got a lot of questions about, well, I thought insurance was going to cover it. Now, here's what they should do. Now, I'm not saying that they will do it because I'm not sure if they're capable of doing it, but they should build it, use federal money, and then go after the insurance companies to pay for it. It's called subrogation. Now, you could have the insurance companies pay for it right now, but they're going to be caught in court. And by the time this thing gets litigated among the insurance companies, it could be years. So federal government come in, build the bridge, and then subrogate it against the insurance companies that have insured the bridge. If it is insured, who knows? I'm assuming that it is. Here's the problem with this subrogation on the federal level. They'll go after these insurance companies, and this is where the lobbyists get involved. So say the bridge costs $1 billion. They'll go after the insurance companies for $1 billion. Now, these insurance companies will hire lobbyists to lobby the federal government. Oh, don't make us pay the full amount. Let us pay this. We'll hold you up in court. And this is the part of the corruption. You don't see this behind the scenes, but this is part of the federal government corruption. So we shall see what happens. Now, the last observation has to do with the shutdown of the I-95 corridor. And that's a problem. I don't know how traffic is going to get rerouted at this point that will result in an efficient transfer of trucks and commodities and food. And that can have a lasting impact. So we shall see. So the automaker Stellantis recently laid off 400 white-collar and engineering jobs. And I just want to read an article from Yahoo Finance. It says here, the automaker, which counts Ram, Jeep, Chrysler, and Dodge among its brands, said in a statement, as the auto industry continues to face unprecedented uncertainties and heightened competitiveness around the world, Stellantis continues to make the appropriate structural decisions across the enterprise to improve efficiency and optimize our cost structure. One mechanical engineer let go on Friday spoke about the process anonymously. And he said it was a mass firing of everybody that was on the call. He suspected the real reason behind the layoffs involved the push to move jobs to low-cost countries, noting that Stellantis is outsourcing many jobs to India, Mexico, and Brazil. Now, I have a suspicion that not only are these jobs being outsourced, there will also be filled by many of these illegal aliens with mid-management skills. Now, I've said this in the past. Many people out there think that this mass influx of illegal migrants only affects the lower class. No, it will affect the middle class also. Now, what's not being written is the fact that, yeah, Stellantis will fill a lot of these jobs with lower-paid illegal immigrants that are willing to do it for a lower pay, as well as outsourcing it overseas. So this is not good for the American worker. So we shall see. Now another rhino is leaving the house early. Mike Gallagher. He's leaving April 19th. And that April 19th date means that there won't be a special election. So that seat is going to remain vacant until November's election. Now this will leave the House with a 217 to 213 majority, meaning Republicans will only be able to lose one vote with full attendance and still be able to pass legislation. Now, these are the type of people that are being elected to Congress. It's not about the country. It's about them. They don't like what's going on. They're rhinos. MAGA's taking over. Well, I'm just going to leave. The heck with my constituency. Now, he's also land up a nice, cushy job. Rumors have it that he's taking a position with a company called Palantir, and they're a software company that does work with the Department of Defense and various United States intelligence agencies. And this is what has to change. Not only Democrats, but Republicans, these rhinos, this is what has to change. It's not about you. It's about the American people. It's not about power. It's about the American people. And this is the unique thing that Trump is fighting. We've never seen this before in history. Not only is he fighting the Democrats, he is fighting the people in his own party. And he's winning. He's going to lose some of the rhino votes in November, but he's going to make it up with his broadening base. And this is just another example of the swamp. It's not about the people. It's about me. So we shall see. Okay, I want to show you an article here from the Gateway Pundit. And the headline says, Transgender Treatments for Children, One of the Greatest Ethical Scandals in Medical History, a French report states. It says here, the practice of sexually transitioning children will be remembered as one of the greatest ethical scandals in the history of medicine, a report commissioned by French senators stated. A landmark report produced by the center-right Les Républicains in the French Senate found that the medical industry embarked upon the practice of giving children life-altering transgender treatments with little evidence of its effectiveness while ignoring the side effects. The report found that many parents were often pressured by doctors to put their children on puberty blockers. The head of the plastic surgery department at a French hospital in Paris told the report that there was no evidence that sex changes for children improved their quality of life because there is obviously no randomized trials. The report found that 70% of those seeking gender reassignment had anxiety depressive disorders, and 30% had previously suffered from some form of trauma, typically sexual abuse. Most disturbingly, 30% of children seeking to change their gender were found to be autistic, although they were often undiagnosed. They also pointed out that the evidence of the safety of prescribing puberty blockers to children was also based on a very fragile basis, pointing out that the justification for the administration in France was based on the so-called Dutch protocol developed in the Netherlands 2 decades ago. And here's what's interesting. This so-called Dutch protocol claimed that the effects of puberty-blocking drugs given to children as young as 12 years old was reversible. Yet the French report said that this was not trustworthy, given that it was only based on the observation of 54 patients and was funded in part by Ferring Pharmaceuticals, a firm which produces puberty blockers. Denmark, Finland, Sweden, and the United Kingdom have all begun to restrict the use of puberty blockers given their side effects and often lifelong impacts, which the report said indicated that the world is at a turning point for transgenderism. So this is another step in the right direction. So we shall see. And the last story I want to cover before I go is about this Glenrock, New Jersey councilwoman who put an offensive meme up on her Instagram account this week and took a lot of heat for it. And let me read the meme. Says here, Easter eggs are aborted chicken babies that are painted in drag for small children to worship. Happy Easter! And this will be the ultimate failure of these far-left progressives because they cannot tolerate Christianity. They mock Christianity. And ultimately, it's going to be their demise. So she catches some heat for it, and she responds with a... And before I forget, just think about this. Easter is the most solemn day on the Christian calendar, and she's out there mocking Easter. Do you think they would mock any other religion during their most solemn days? No, but they do it to Christians. So she catches some heat, and she responds with the typical apology, non-apology. And she said, my personal Instagram does not constitute the official views, opinions, or beliefs of the mayor and council of the borough of Glenrock. To those who feel it mocks your holiday traditions, that was not my intentions. Oh, yes, it was. Wishing all who celebrate a peaceful, joyous holiday. She can't even use the term Easter. She's got to call it a holiday. She despises Christians that much. Now she may come back, I'm a Christian. No, no, she's not. Not when she says this. Now, to the town's benefit, they came out with a real apology. And they put this out. It says, to our Glenrock neighbors and residents, we have been made aware of a post that appeared in one of our council members' personal Instagram accounts. This post evoked Easter, the holiest day of the year in the Christian calendar, in a point about two issues that have nothing to do with Easter. As mayor and members of the borough council, we want to apologize to everyone who was offended by this post. We feel very strongly that everyone's religious beliefs and traditions must be treated with respect, should not be the subject of jokes or inflammatory social media posts. We understand how important Easter and the symbols of Easter are to the many Glenrockers who celebrate. As we have stated on many occasions before, we believe strongly that Glenrock should be an inclusive community that celebrates and honors everyone's religious beliefs and traditions. This includes Christianity, as well as all other religions represented in the town. And kudos to the town. And with that said, thank you very much for listening. You have a good Easter, and I will talk to you next Saturday.